A time for tears as we bid farewell to a great man, NYPD Detective Stephen McDonald. Thousands of officers and ordinary people lined Fifth Avenue outside St. Patrick's Cathedral to pay their respects as the hero made his final journey. Cardinal Timothy Dolan officiated.
We're here to thank God for Stephen's splendid life of love and service.
Officers and firefighters also stood in tribute on overpasses as the funeral cortege made its way into the city, dozens of motorcycles leading the way. The bagpipes were stilled, and only a solemn drumbeat and the peal of a bell could be heard as the NYPD pipe band escorted the hearse to the cathedral. Then, as a lone piper played Amazing Grace, the coffin was carried inside. McDonald was the young patrolman shot three times in 1986 by a teenager who was stealing a bike in Central Park. He was left paralyzed for life, but he forgave the teen who shot him, and his courage and compassion in the years that followed inspired everyone.
Be with the New York City Police Department. It's the best ever.
He died of a heart attack on Tuesday, aged 59. His wife, Patty Ann, was pregnant when McDonald was shot. Their son, Connor, is now a police sergeant. They spoke at a wake yesterday.
I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that everyone has done for us. Not just this past week, but over the past 30 years.
The most important thing that we can take away from my father is the fact his mission of love and compassion.
A moving goodbye to Stephen McDonald, a hero to the very end.
And farewell to Stephen McDonald, a great policeman, a great human being, family man. It's sad. You're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR. I'm your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Spotomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawakwan at your-poetry.com. We're also on Pinterest and SoundCloud. You know, it's a shame, but we have to realize just how valuable these police officers are to us. They protect us. They put their lives on the line for us. And Stephen McDonald was a perfect example of what a policeman is. My hat's off. Anyway, sit back. Relax and enjoy.
hearing today hardly introduces Senator Sessions to the committee. No. That the testimony you're about to give before this committee will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Let me tell you something, folks. This is JDR. You're listening to Views with a Twist. I don't know Jeff Sessions. I only know what I've heard about him. He's a bigot. He's a racist. He's against gay marriage, yada, yada, yada. I don't know what's going on there. What you just heard were protesters during his... To be appointed, he has to go through this thing where they ask him a whole bunch of questions, yada, 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 and he has to, you know, basically say, I will uphold the law, I will uphold the rights of the Constitution. And apparently, there were people there dressed in KKK uniforms and were being outspoken. I'm confused, to be honest with you. I'm confused. I don't know Jeff Sessions. I can't make a comment on him. I can't say anything about Jeff Sessions. I can only tell you what I've heard, and you've probably heard the same thing. So, if I had to say anything, folks, what I would say is this. Trump has picked some people to be a part of his cabinet that are riddles. Okay. You don't know where these people are coming from. I mean, like Jeff Sessions. I mean, people say that he's a. I mean, Cory Booker came out against Jeff Sessions in Sessions' testimony to Congress or whatever it is that they do. Cory Booker was adamant that he did not want Jeff Sessions. So there is something that I guess there's something there. I mean, he's, you know, you have these protesters and then you have Cory Booker, but you know, when you think about it, it's not like, you know, Al Sharpton wasn't there. Jesse Jackson wasn't there. I mean, there wasn't a whole horde of people. And it wasn't like a big protest with like hundreds or thousands of people saying no Jeff Sessions. It was just a few people that were upset. So, and like I said, I don't know the guy. I don't know the guy. So, I'm just going to sit back and see what happens. Anyway, you're listening to Views with a Twist, iTunes, Android, iOS, John Robinson on writerscafe.org. Tawa Kwan, your-poetry.com. Warren SoundCloud and Pinterest. I'll be back.
Sure if he'll ever be executed, though, because South Carolina hasn't executed anybody in over 5 years. They've been having problems finding that lethal injection drug, because nobody's selling it to them, because, you know, people are trying to get rid of the death penalty, so, you know, a lot of these states are having trouble finding the drug that they use to pull off the lethal injection. So South Carolina hasn't executed anybody in over 5 years. I found an article from 2015, and at the time it said there were 44 people on death row in South Carolina. And this is an article in 2015. So if they're going to go in order of how people got sentenced to death, there's over 40-something people ahead of Dylann Roof to be executed. And keep in mind, South Carolina hasn't executed anybody in over 5 years because they're having trouble finding the lethal injection drug. So he may never actually get executed. It might be like a California. California, they sentence people to death, but they don't execute anybody. They just end up dying of old age on death row in South Carolina. In California. So I don't even know why California even sentences anybody to death. So Dylann Roof, I don't think he'll ever be executed, because, you know, they're trying to get rid of the death penalty, so, and a lot of people are ahead of him to get executed in South Carolina anyway. Last year in the United States, only 20 people got executed last year, which is like the lowest I've ever seen. So a lot of states aren't pulling off executions anymore. I remember back in 2014, Missouri was just as active as Texas in pulling off executions. Back in 2014, Missouri executed 10 people. So, but I think Missouri just ran out of people to execute. Because nobody, for years, not a lot of people were getting sentenced to death row in Missouri. So I think Missouri just simply ran out of people to execute. So, yeah, 10 executions Missouri pulled off in 2014. So, yeah, a lot of people are not getting sentenced to death row like they used to be. So, you know. So Dylann Roof, he's a very bad guy, killed, what, 9 people in that mass shooting. I don't think he's going to get executed because, like I said, it's, South Carolina is not doing any executions anymore. They just can't find a drug. But he's just going to rot. Sometimes I think it's just better to have them rot in prison anyway. I mean, some people, you know what, I'm not going to get into that. But, he's just going to rot in prison for the rest of his life, probably. It's like that, remember that, what's that guy? Was it Scott Peterson in California? Yeah, the Scott Peterson case. I remember when people were so happy when Scott Peterson got sentenced to death back in 2004 in California. And I'm like, he's never going to get executed. It's California. California rarely ever pulls off an execution. There's over 500, 600 people on death row in California. Scott Peterson is going to die of old age. So why are you happy that he got the death penalty? You know what I'm saying? Some of these people, like I said, you got to see where they're getting sentenced to death. Now, if you get sentenced to death in Texas, that's a different story. You're probably going to get executed. But if you get sentenced to death in some of these other states, they're not going to pull off an execution. Missouri, like I said, was killing a lot of people at one point just a couple years ago. But now I think Missouri just ran out of people to kill. So, so it is what it is. Dylann Roof, I think, is just going to die of old age. Anyway, I'm out. Peace.
And folks, let me tell you, most of what this gentleman was speaking, I believe. As a matter of fact, I know is a fact. I don't think Dylann Roof, now, okay, let's think about Dylann Roof. Dylann Roof is a high profile criminal that has been sentenced to death. Now, one of two things will happen. The state, South Carolina, or wherever, will either be pressured to put this man to death, in which case, believe you me, they will find the injection material to put this man to death. Because they're going to have to do this to settle the people, not just of South Carolina, but of the United States. The black community. You know, the minority community. Just to send that message. It's very possible that that can happen. Or it's very possible that they put him in a cell and say, okay, he's got a death penalty. They let stuff die down. And you never hear another thing about Dylann Roof until he dies. And he's a young kid. So we're talking about, like, you know, if he's lucky, 80 years, 70 years, 60 years. And all of a sudden you read there'll be a blurb on a news channel. Oh, yeah, Dylann Roof died. Because there are so many people on death row, and there are so many states that have the death penalty but don't implement it because, like the gentleman said, people are trying to get rid of the death penalty. So there's this back and forth. There's this political back and forth. There's this red tape back and forth going on. So yeah, he's, you know, listen, he's correct. You know, they sentenced Dylann Roof to death, but He may never see a lethal injection. He just may die of old age in jail. In a single cell, because they'll probably send him to a supermax prison. Because I don't think that they're going to, I would not imagine that they will send him to a prison where he would be in general population. Because that it wouldn't make sense. Because he would get together with a bunch of Aryan race people, neo-Nazi people, whatever, Ku Klux Klan, yada, yada, yada. And before you know it, Dylann Roof is breaking out of a prison, you know, with a bunch of other guys. So I don't think that they will do that. I think that they will put him in a supermax prison where he would spend 24 hours of the day in a single cell. And he gets to walk out of his cell for 1 hour, and he's in a cage. He has no contact to general population. As a matter of fact, in a supermax prison, you don't have any communication with one another. Everybody has a cell and a cage. It's really like hamster land, to be honest with you. Really, it's like hamster land. So, I'm kind of curious to see if they really put this through with the whole death penalty with Dylann Roof. I don't think it's going to happen. Because didn't Charles Manson get sentenced to death? I don't know. But, the thing with Charles Manson is he always has a parole hearing. He gets denied every time. But I'm always surprised that he even has a parole hearing. That's kind of trippy, you know? Anyway, you're listening to Views with the Twist. My name is JDR. iTunes, iOS, Android, Podomatic.com, SoundCloud, Pinterest, John Robinson, writerscafe.org, and TowerQuant at your-poetry.com. I'll be back. We'll be right back.
keep it down. Hold yourself in line. You keep waiting for another time. Can't keep it down. Hold yourself in line. You keep waiting for another time. Can't keep it down. Hold yourself in line. You keep waiting for another time. Can't keep it down. Hold yourself in line.
A Fox News alert. There is a news conference underway right now in Orlando, Florida, where they are announcing that a second sheriff's deputy has been killed today during the manhunt for Markeith Lloyd, who was wanted for shooting an Orlando police officer to death outside a Walmart. They chased Lloyd, and during that chase, a second deputy was killed. We will keep you updated on the very sad law enforcement situation underway now in Orlando.
I can't find my daughter.
Okay, how old is she?
Five. She just turned five.
You're listening to part of the 911 call made by five-year-old Ashley Zhao's father after he claimed she went missing.
Wait. When's the last time you seen her?
It was this afternoon, probably.
He and his wife are now charged in connection with her death. Here they are in court. A vigil was held outside the Ohio restaurant where her body was found. It's owned by her parents.
When we drive by, we just can't even fathom that something like that would happen to a five-year-old child.
Police say Ashley's dad told them she was sleeping in the restaurant. When they checked on her, she was gone. Investigators made the grim discovery 24 hours later, saying her mother had struck her in the head with her fist, killing her. Regulars at the restaurant are sick to their stomachs.
Every time that we were here, she would be chattering away. When we came in, we were always greeted by a smile from her, and she especially loved children.
While police say the child's dad is an American citizen, they're unsure about her mother's immigration status. Their other daughter is now in the care of social services. For InsideEdition.com, I'm Lee Sheps.
But I don't know what to do right now.
Confused and devastated, family, friends, and total strangers rushed to Aang's Asian restaurant Tuesday night to confirm the horrific news.
It's heartbreaking. It's very heartbreaking.
After a massive search for five-year-old Ashley Zhao, Jackson Township Police confirming that her remains were found concealed inside the family's business.
Just kind of pretty well choked up.
There's like no words. Like, I don't even know how, you know, you describe that. A little five-year-old girl.
A horrific thought that became even more ghastly after FBI agents and crime scene units with the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation finished scouring the restaurant and the family's apartment located a couple of miles away in North Canton. Tuesday night, the little girl's father, Lang Zhao, and her mother, Ming Ming Chen, were both arrested and booked into the Stark County Jail on multiple charges. Although the couple claimed Ashley just disappeared, investigators say it appears Ming Ming struck the girl's head against the floor and that her father cleaned her up and then unsuccessfully tried to revive her.
Pretty traumatic.
You never see this in this area.
You know, folks, I don't like being the bearer of bad news. It's not my thing. This is not a news podcast. It is a current event podcast, and I like to focus more on animals, but very often there's not enough news involving animals. And like when the summer comes and I start walking around and just talking to people, that'll be different. I know. I've said that a million times and still haven't done it. But I like to show the human element. People ask me, because I often say, you know, if I was on a boat and there's one human and there's one animal and the boat's going down, who are you going to save? I save the animal. Because animals live by nature. And it's only us humans that are forcing animals to totally, like, go astray as far as, for example, possums and raccoons are usually nocturnal. Now, because they're being forced out of their habitats, you will see them in the daytime scrounging around for food. I mean, I saw a possum walking around at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's not what they do. But here in a city like New York, where they're constantly building, where they're constantly gentrifying, where they're constantly forcing or pushing nature away, things change. Animals react differently. You see bears running around in New Jersey all over the place, coyotes, whatever. You know? And they would not have to do that if they weren't being forced out of their habitat. And my thing is this. I say all the time, humans are so damn smug. Fuck animals. We're going to build, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to shoot any fucking animal that comes in our goddamn way. That's what it is. That's what it is. And listen to the stuff that you just heard. I mean, you got the woman, you got the police officer in Florida who was shot. And that's a very sad case. Then you got this idiot that calls 911 and says he lost his daughter. And then you've got the other one, the missing kid in Ohio, who's found in their parents' restaurant. Her body found in her parents' restaurant. I mean, in my opinion, listen, I'm not perfect. And I'm not expecting anyone to be perfect. I am expecting you to be honest. I am expecting you not to be some sort of freak. And unfortunately, when it comes to humans, there are so many goddamn freaks out there. Really. And you just heard about a couple of them. And there are tons of them. I just heard this thing this morning about a guy that bought a dog, and he was arrested because he chained the dog to the back of the car and drove the car and dragged the dog. Why? Because he wanted the dog to get toughened up. And this is what I'm talking about. How people treat animals like, fuck you. You walk on 4 legs, I walk on 2. I got disposable thumbs. Kiss my ass. I will be appreciative of the day. Like that James Patterson thing that they had on Channel 2 with the Animals Revolt. I will be happy to see the day when animals suddenly stand up and say, you know what, we're not putting up with this shit anymore. We can take you guys out anytime we fucking feel like it. And you know what? We feel like it. Anyway, let me give my shout-outs to the NYPD, the FDNY, North Shore Animal League, ASPCA, all of my brothers and sisters in the military, first responders, Alemannia Front in Deutschland, SOS Wildlife of India, and SOS Wildlife, period. And everyone that listens to the show, I might be back, I might not. And you're listening to Views with a Twist. Absolutely awesome, folks. That was an 81-year-old man that walked into a British guitar shop, picked up the guitar, and just blew everybody's mind. I mean, I'm speechless. I am without speech. That is absolutely 81 years old. Walked in, picked up a Gretsch, and some people say Gretsch and some people say Gretsch. You know, it's a sort of like a B.B. King guitar. If you know B.B. King and Lucille, it's kind of one of those type of guitars. And just blew everybody's mind. I was like, wow, you know, that's like, you know, I just, it's amazing, you know. Anyway, you're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Podomite.com. John Robinson at writerscafe.org, TawaCon at your-poetry.com. We're on Pinterest and SoundCloud. I don't think I'll be back, but there's a lot of show left, so hang around.
It should not be hard to say that Vladimir Putin's military has conducted war crimes in Aleppo, because it is never acceptable, you would agree, for a military to specifically target civilians, which is what's happened there through the Russian military. And, you know, I find it discouraging,
Marco,
your ability to...
Marco, I'll take it from here. Mr. Tillerson, thank you so much for being here today, sir.
I thank you for your time and look forward to your questions.
Sir, has anyone ever told you that you have the rich, buttery Texan voice that makes you sound like a wealthy car dealership owner with a heart of gold that secretly saves the town football team?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here's another one, and it's a total layup. Given what Vladimir Putin has done in Chechnya, Syria, and the Ukraine, let me ask you this simple question. Is Vladimir Putin a war criminal?
I would not use that term.
All right, then what term would you use, sir? Take a look at this picture. Would you use the term shaved vampire? How about the term, that painting from Ghostbusters 2, but with man boobs?
I'm not in a position to be able to make that determination.
Fine, let's move on. Mr. Tillerson, do you believe that Vladimir Putin is responsible for ordering the murder of countless dissidents, journalists, and political opponents?
I do not have sufficient information to make that claim.
Let me see if I can inform you. Take a look at this picture right here. It's of Vladimir Putin wearing an apron that says, Kiss the War Criminal.
I would certainly want to examine all the corners, all four corners of that.
All right, fair enough. Let's take a look down here. Oh, in this corner, he's barbecuing the arm of a journalist.
It's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Are you little son boy?
Myself to be happy. I feel suffocated, embarrassed, ashamed. Why did I have to be this way? I have a great family, amazing friends, good academic results on paper. Everything is okay. Yet all I ever seem to see is sadness and grey. It's like there's this burden on me, pulling me to the ground, and however hard I try, I can't bring myself out. I can't bring myself to care about anything, not me, not him, not her. Living has become this constant nightmare. And it's just not fair. Society guide you will tell me to try yoga, go for a walk, listen to meditation. I tell them that this cannot be solved by exercise or medication. It's a disease that affects every aspect of my life, my work, my relationship, my education. And to this day, despite my best efforts to explain, I'm always met with blind hesitation. People ask me, why are you always so sad? I tell them I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is that I wake up every morning feeling like absolute shit, and now that's become my norm. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid of putting my guard down in the fear that I will be judged for something that I cannot control. Where's the fairness of it all? Do you think I like to watch myself fall into this whole field of self-hate, shame, and love? So I hide and I put up a wall that is so high you will never see my pain or any of my flaws. I create this character. She is perfect. She's invincible. And so I carry on living these two lives, one for the public and one just for me late at night. Because that's easier than admitting I have a problem. And that's the problem. The stigma is real, people, and it will not go away until we realize that mental health is a big deal. It's a hidden disease that affects so many lives. Wake up and listen to the silent cries. It's a kid who never speaks, or the man who's always tired, the woman who's too emotional, or the guy who just got fired. Because he was absent a lot. He couldn't get himself out of bed due to his mental health, but do you think any of his colleagues knew that? Of course not. Depression is the hell inside of me, and it eats me up daily.